the following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 21. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on June 22nd, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat angri abhijana samadhi daktaya diya anupashyanti hi tatvam atmana vedanti cha etat kavya yata rucham sa me Mukunda Bhagavan Prasidatam Yad Angyavya Jhanna Samadhi Dautaya Diyan Upashyanti Hitatva Matmana Vadanti Chaitat kaviyo yata rucham Same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam Yad angyabhidanna samandhi dautaya Diyan upashyanti hi tatvamatmana Vadanti chaitat kaviyo yacha rucham Same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam. And that first line, instead of going angri abhijana, you go ang, and then you merge the y onto the a. Angya. Angya abhidhana, like that. You take the, instead of going angri, you go angra bhijana, like that. You merge the Y onto the A in the next word. Yatan gyabhya jana samandhi dautaya Diyan upashyanti hi tatvamatmana Vadanti chaitat kaviyo yacharutam Same mukundo bhagavan prasidatam Yat angri whose lotus feet abhijana thinking of it every second samadhi trance daudaya being washed off diya by such clean intelligence Anupashyanti does see by following authorities. He certainly tatvam, the absolute truth, atmana, of the Supreme Lord and of oneself. Vedanti, they say, cha, also, etat, this, kavya, philosophers are learned scholars. Yata rucham, as he thinks. Sa, he, may, mine, Mukunda. Lord Krishna who gives liberation. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Prasidatam, be pleased with me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who gives liberation. By thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. Purport. The mystic yogis, after a strenuous effort to control the senses, may be situated in a trance of yoga just to have a vision of the super soul within everyone, but the pure devotee, simply by remembering the Lord's lotus feet at every second, at once becomes established in real trance, because by such realization his mind and intelligence are completely cleansed of the diseases of material enjoyment. The pure devotee thinks himself fallen into the ocean of birth and death and incessantly prays to the Lord to lift him up. He only aspires to become a speck of transcendental dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotee, by the grace of the Lord, absolutely loses all attraction for material enjoyment. And to keep free from contamination, he always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. King Kulashekar, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed, Krishna tvadiya padda pankaja pancharantam nadyaiva me vishito manasarajahamsa panaprayanna samaye kapavatta pitai katantarodanna vidos madanam kutaste. My dear Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of lotus feet of your lordship and be locked in their network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? There is an intimate relationship between the swan and the lotus stem. So the comparison is very appropriate. Without becoming a swan or paramahamsa, one cannot enter into the network of the lotus feet of the Lord, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. The mental speculators, even by dint of learned scholarship, cannot even dream of the absolute truth by speculating over it for eternity. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to such mental speculators, and because they cannot enter into the network stem of the lotus feet of the Lord, all mental speculators differ in conclusions, and at the end they make a useless compromise by saying as many conclusions, as many ways, according to one's own imagination. Yata racham yatamat tatapat. But the Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers in the mental speculator exchange. The Lord is what He is, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, and He demands absolute surrender unto Him only. The pure devotee, however, by following the ways of previous acharyas or authorities, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, anupashyanti. The pure devotee never tries to see the Lord by mental speculation, but by following in the footsteps of the acharyas, mahajano yena gatasta panta. Therefore, there is no difference of conclusions amongst the acharya Vaishnava acharyas regarding the Lord and the devotees. Lord Chaitanya asserts that the living entity Jiva is eternally the servitor of the Lord, and that he is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. This tattva of Lord Chaitanya's is shared by all four sampradayas of the Vaishnava school, all accepting eternal servitude to the Lord even after salvation. And there is no authorized Vaishnava acharya who may think of the Lord and himself as one. This humbleness of the pure devotee, who is 100% engaged in his service, puts the devotee of the Lord in a trance by which he to realize everything, because to the sincere devotee of the Lord himself reveals, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.10. The Lord, being the Lord of intelligence in everyone, even in the non-devotees, favors his devotee with the proper intelligence, so that automatically the pure devotee is enlightened with the factual truth about the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is revealed not by one's speculative power or by one's verbal jugglery over the absolute truth. Rather, he reveals himself to a devotee who, when he is fully satisfied by the devotee's service attitude. Shukadev Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory of as many ways, as many conclusions. Rather, he prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. So, It is very nicely described here by Srila Prabhupada, how the Lord is revealed according to one's service attitude. Material consciousness means I want to be served. That is material consciousness. And spiritual consciousness means I want to render service. We have a tendency to lean towards material consciousness of wanting to be served instead of spiritual consciousness wanting to give service. It is this desire to want to be served instead of giving service that keeps us locked up in the cycle of birth and death. Since time immemorial, we've been locked up in this because of this consciousness, and we will continue to remain locked up in this consciousness as long as we think, I should be served. If the hand thinks, I should be served, why I should serve the stomach, he will starve to death. You see, the whole body will starve to death. So the natural position is to render service. By taking up this rendering of service to Krishna, this is called devotional service. It's not monetized service that I get paid for it. Actually, if you get paid for it, it's not service. Service means devotional service. If it's not devotional, it's not service. It's business. I'm doing this to get something for myself. That's not service. So the actual meaning of service is devotional service by its very nature. It's not devotional, it's not service, it's business. You see, I'm doing it to get something for myself. So it's not that I'm serving my country or serving my family or serving my company. And unless we're in the mood of devotional service, there actually is no service. It's simply a show of service. I'm going to get something for myself, you see. So this position of rendering devotional service is actually the only position in which the self becomes fully satisfied, because the very nature of the self is to render pure devotional service to the Supreme, and through serving the Supreme to automatically serve all living entities. That is our natural healthy state. Jivera Sarupa Hai Krishnera Nitya Das. That is our natural healthy state, to want to render service. So how to get from our contaminated position now, where I just want to be served, and actually get to that position where I can relish serving the Lord unlimitedly for all of eternity? You see? Well, that is devotional service in practice, sadhana bhakti. The spiritual master engages you. Okay, you do this, this, this. This is your service. You should chant around the Japa Mala every day, at least 16 rounds, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You should give up illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. You should work together with the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement for making this movement successful. And in this way, by rendering these services on the order of the spiritual master, one actually develops a taste for service. One develops a taste for giving service, you see. And then once that taste is solidly there, then you're actually a liberated soul. And you can liberate others. So I can ask if there's any questions. Is it a material or spiritual consciousness that a spiritual master needs to be served? That is spiritual, because Krishna says, render service unto the spiritual master. So how could that be material consciousness? The spiritual master doesn't need to be served. But we need to serve the spiritual master. It's not that he needs to be served. He's fully satisfied just by rendering service. But we need to serve the spiritual master. Not that he needs to be served. I was recently introduced to chanting Hare Krishna. Previously I was chanting Shiva mantra. Which one should I choose? According to the scripture, this is the Maha Mantra. This is the most powerful, effective mantra for this age. So therefore, chant Hare Krishna. Lord Shiva will be more pleased when you chant Hare Krishna than when you chant Om Namo Shivaya, because actually Shiva is a devotee of Krishna. And he sees that you're becoming devoted to Krishna, he becomes more pleased than if you worship him. How important it is to accept a guru. It's absolutely essential. How do I more efficiently go about it? Well, you just hear from the spiritual master and follow his instructions. It's very simple. Statements such as described in these verses make it very clear to understand that Krishna is the all in all. Then how come there are some people who still do not accept this fact? Because people are blinded by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Regarding devotional service, what about devotees who are paid in the temple to do service like food? That's not service. That's business. Of course, if it's some meager compensation, they call it devotee maintenance, then that's all right. It's like the devotees living in the temple, and the temple's maintaining him in a simple way. That's devotional service. Some brahmachari is living in the temple, and if he needs something, the temple pays for his shaving cream and his razor blades and his toothpaste. And that doesn't mean it's a business deal. One accepts some meager compensation just so one can do the service. But if one's trying to use it for making money, it's like we see some. I remember in one temple they had pujaris from India. They pay them a salary, and then after the aarti they go to the movies. It's completely bogus. They go to cinema after the evening aarti. Put the Lord to rest and go to the town to the cinema. It's completely bogus. Lila Manjari, please, how to live in the realization I'm not this body in the designation to this body, just the covering. Well, by engaging yourself in devotional service, that's a very simple thing. By engaging in devotional service, that's how you realize you're not your body. You use your body for Krishna, and then you realize it's not you. And what is the potency of chanting the holy name when chanted unknowingly or casually? It is less, but it is still there. Devotional service should be without expectation for results. So is it okay to want to become purified by engaging? Yes, that result you can desire. I want to become purified by rendering devotional service. That desire you can have. Jesus did not die, you said. What did you mean? Actually, nobody ever dies. Only the soul, only the body is killed. Did his body die? Well, according to the biblical description, he just like appeared that Haridas Thakur had been killed. Actually, he was alive after the beatings in 22 marketplaces. And Christ also showed himself to be alive in that body. So, according to what's written in the Bible, he appeared to be dead, but actually he wasn't. Or they say he rose from the dead. So, anyway, it's a mistake to think that he was killed. That's a fact. What is the importance and meaning of taking initiation? Initiation is the beginning of the path of spiritual awakening. You get yourself ready for initiation by having faith in the process and by associating. But when you're actually serious to begin this process, you take initiation. Initiation, to initiate something means to begin it. So you begin this process of spiritual awakening by initiation. You don't begin the process. It's like if you take a 1,000-mile journey, the first step is how you initiate that journey. If you don't take the first step, you're not going to make the journey. If you don't get initiated, you're not going back to Godhead because you didn't take the first step. Initiation is the first step. Then now I've taken shelter of Guru. Now I must follow his instructions. That's initiation. He formalized that obedient, sheltered position. And if you don't follow his instructions, your initiation is a sham. It's not real. Initiation means you obey his instructions. Is cocoa chocolate considered the same as tea or coffee? Yes, it's an intoxicant. Prabhupada said, don't take it. What if when during deity worship we don't have some item that's required by the Vedas or Puranas or other scriptures? in this age we cannot fully do deity worship. That's why in this age the Sankirtan Yogi is the Yogi. So everything we do is a simplified version. You can't do everything mentioned in the scriptures in this age for deity worship. Will we get punished? No. You just follow the instructions of your spiritual master. We worship according to the way Prabhupada taught us, and that is sufficient. Will some day religions be subject to the number of atheists? What does that mean? Religion subject to the number of atheists. Doesn't make sense. Or shall we go and steal because we must follow what is written in the scriptures in fear of getting punished? Well, that doesn't make sense. I don't see the first half of the question. Doesn't make sense. When we chant, we are supposed to beg for service. Please, Lord, engage me in your service. But still, when devotees are requested to do some regular service at the temple, they refuse. What is your advice? They should learn how to chant properly. If you're begging for service and the service comes and you reject it, it means you weren't really chanting properly. It was just on the mouth. You weren't chanting from your heart. In this verse, it is stated that Krishna is the one who gives liberation. He is the father of all. The Syrians are suffering like anything. Why does Krishna not liberate them all? Krishna is trying to liberate everyone through the Sankirtan movement. They just have to take it. That's all. We are spreading this movement all over the world. We're trying to convince the people to take it. If they don't take it, what can we do? Liberation is coming in the form of this movement. If people don't take it, what we can do? You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't force him to drink. And it is sure that God is a person and is mostly beautiful. No, not mostly, absolutely beautiful. But how can I believe in the deity since it is man-made? Yes, the deity is made by some deity wala, but Krishna, on the request of the pure devotee, has entered into the form of the deity to accept worship. Just like your postal department is mail, you have to go down to the post office to mail a letter, but if they put a post box in your neighborhood, you can mail your letter there and it will still go to the same destination. So there is Krishna's original form in the spiritual world, that's the post office, and there's the post office box, which is the authorized deity form located in the temple. So you can get the benefit of mailing a letter without having to go to the post office. You can, by mailing it in the post office box. Similarly, you get the benefit of worshiping Krishna in the spiritual sky by worshiping the deity form. Why did so many disciples of Prabhupada leave ISKCON? They weren't really disciples. If you're really a disciple, you'll never leave. They were disciples in name only. Anyone who is actually a disciple will never leave. Question? Which one is it? Which one you talk? Who's? Give me the name of the person.
Anandavardhan.
Okay. Do we need to understand the three modes of material nature before we understand Krishna? You need to get out of the influence of the modes to understand Krishna. But if you take directly to Krishna's name, Krishna, 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 that will liberate you from the modes. Now, what circumstances did I leave ISKCON? You should never leave ISKCON. One minute. I'm answering a question. You have to be patient. Under what circumstances should I leave ISKCON? Well, even if you feel that ISKCON is completely off the track, and you can prove it by Prabhupada's books, then you should reform ISKCON. You should never leave it. You should reform it. But it has to be according to the Prabhupada's books, not some concocted thing like this bogus ISKCON reform movement, which is completely rubbish, because it's not based on Prabhupada's books. But if ISKCON is deviating from Prabhupada's books, then you should never leave. You should stick around and reform it. Bring it back, and if ISKCON were to deviate from Prabhupada's books, And you should stay in ISKCON and bring ISKCON back to Prabhupada's books. Okay, what's the name of the person again?
Priyanka.
Priyanka, okay. What should be our mood of service when serving Guru? It should be in love, bhaktya, with devotion, not mechanically. What reactions, mood, position should a devotee take against materialist and atheist who criticize ISKCON? Should become angry like fire if somebody blasphemes ISKCON or Krishna. Should become angry like fire. But it should be a controlled fire. It's like Prabhupada told us in Austin, where there was some Mayavadi college professor. He was very popular with the hippies. Dr. Rao. They used to go and sit in his class. I even went one day before I became a devotee. He'd sit in his class and he talks Mayavadi philosophy, and he was very popular with the students. Dr. Rao's lectures were open to anyone who wanted to go in and sit. He had a big auditorium, and the hippies would go. But Prabhupada told Prabhupada about him. Prabhupada said, "You challenge him to debate and defeat him with a cool head." So you have a mood like fire, but you present it with a cool head. That's the way. Not that you're a hot head, then you won't speak intelligently. You be angry like fire, but then you present your anger coolly to defeat them. Intelligently and coolly you defeat them. How does a devotee become free from the attraction of the opposite sex? You have to get a taste for Krishna consciousness. I mean, what is the big deal about sex? It's not really that great, you know. It's just kind of disgusting, ugh, you know, like a piece of stool, you know. If I gave you a piece of stool, would you like to try to enjoy it? A nice big juicy piece of stool? Come on, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Well, that's sex. Because the body of your sex partner is just a piece of stool. And you're wanting to enjoy a piece of stool, that's all. So why are you so enamored by sex? You're an idiot, you're a crazy fool if you're enamored by sex life. Hare Krishna is much better than sex. You see? That's coming out in video for the day today. It's called Better Than Sex. It's better than sex. It's a fact. It's 1,000 times better than sex. 5,000 times better than sex. A Muslim told me, "Why do I worship an idol?" What must I answer? Why do I worship an idol? I don't worship an idol. I'm worshiping Krishna. I'm worshiping God Himself. And it is your blindness. You think He's an idol. Actually, Krishna has personally come. And there's many historical evidences of this. In India, many examples, like the Sakshi Gopal story is there. There's so many historical examples. Why are you worshiping an idol? You could ask him. You don't understand the actual meaning of Allah. If you actually understood what is the true meaning of Allah, you would see that I am the best devotee of Allah, and you are 10th class devotee of Allah. Okay, next question.
You can ask them, what do you have in Mecca?
Mecca.
Yeah, Mecca.
They have an idol, they have a deity from there too. Yeah, good point. Okay, which is the next one? Yeah, it's a good point. Now Nandavardhan is the next in the queue.
Ladini
from China, northern China. Okay, let's get to Ladini here. Okay, a sannyasi is not allowed to cook for himself; he cooks for Krishna. I am hungry. I cook and offer to Krishna. This action is sinful. No, Krishna understands that you have to eat to survive, so he wants you to take prasadam, so you cook it and offer it nicely for him, and you take the remnants. It is not sinful.
Not when you are hungry and you feed Krishna all the time, so prasadam is there all the time.
Since Krishna is always hungry, you should regularly feed him, and so the prasadam is always there for the cook. Okay, let's see what we got here.
Yeah.
Shivani, I get attached to the flowers I offer at home, the altar. I don't like throwing them the next day. Well, that's great. If they're still nice, you can leave them on the altar. If you make some flower arrangement on the altar, in Austin we usually keep it for a week, don't we, Devi?
That's a vase.
The vases, yeah. Now, if there's some prasadam and flowers, they can be kept permanently. Like, if, let's say you got a garland, your spiritual master gave you a garland, you have a maha garland from your Guru Maharaj, you could actually preserve it and keep it for your whole life if you wanted to. Keep the crumbs. If mood of the speaker in the temple is different from my spiritual master, can I avoid attending the class? The mood is, his style may be different. And that's okay. But if he's preaching different from Prabhupada's books, you don't have to attend the class. If somebody is deviating, just like we heard a class one time in Mumbai, and I was too spaced out actually at the time to properly raise the point, but the speaker, who was actually a Ritvik, he said, we should only hear from Prabhupada, nobody else. If I had any brains, I said, well, Prabhu, then why are you sitting on the Vyasasana and speaking to us? You see? But I was too shy, I guess. But, you know, if somebody's sitting here telling you, you should only hear from Prabhupada, okay, I'm leaving right now because you're not Prabhupada. I'm gone. You see? So if somebody speaks bogus philosophy, you have a right to walk out on the cliffs. Or the best thing is to stick around and defeat them. In front of everybody, defeat them. When the questions and answers come, defeat their nonsense so everybody can see. So everybody will realize this person is speaking bogus philosophy. That's the best thing to do. Okay. But mood can be, the style and mood can be different. Someone may have a very fired up mood, someone may have a very humble mood. You see, there's different ways of giving a class. You can speak in a very soft, subdued, humble way, a very fired up way. You know, it can be, either way is okay. Even Prabhupada speaks in different moods sometimes in different lectures, different times and circumstances. What should be our mood when we are cooking for Krishna? Is it that we prepare huge quantity distributed as prasadam through the shop or the temple, and then we're preparing to offer the Radha Krishna with love and devotion? Well, if you're you can think, I'm preparing this food, it'll be, let's say there's a big festival going on and you're cooking for the festival, so the many people will get prasadam and become purified. You can meditate like that. At the same time, you have to think, the first thing is it's offered to Krishna. So you should always think of offering to Krishna as the prime thought. That should always be the central point. Let me make this very, very nice for Krishna. If I attend such a class of a different speaker, ignore what I've heard, well, you could actually take notes on what he's saying, so you can... you know, get to the bottom of what kind of deviation is going on and eventually report it to your authorities. This was said. You can report it. If someone's speaking bogus philosophy or Sahajism or Ritvikism, there's different bogus things. Like one, actually it happened one time in a Sunday feast lecture. One godbrother, Ivashah, I heard the tape. He told all the guests, now everybody pick your rasa. When would you like to be in Golok? You want to be a gopi, you want to be a gopa, you want to be a peacock. Pick your rasa now and start meditating on it. Can you imagine? Completely bogus. So I had to take that recording, that MP3, I sent it to the GBC, and they got on his case. And he was chastised by the GBC for having said that on the Sunday feast to all the guests. Even for us, you know, devotees have been around 40 or 50 years. It's not time for us to pick our rasa yet. Actually, you don't pick your rasa. That's a bogus concept. Rasa is revealed when you come to the asakti stage, and it's a very high level. When you become a completely pure devotee, the beginning of pure bhakti is the asakti stage. You see, first there's sadhu sangha, you associate with devotees. There's faith, shraddha. Then you associate with devotees, then you get initiated. And then you work diligently, following the order of your spiritual master, to become completely free from lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. We're not even there yet. That's called anartanavritti. At that point, you're almost completely pure. And after anartanavritti, you become a solidly fixed devotee, almost completely pure, like 99.99% pure at the nishta stage. And there's further purification. You become absolutely intoxicated with Krishna's name. You could chant Hare Krishna for millions of years and never get tired. That's the ruchi stage. It's a super high level. We're not there yet. And then after ruchi, you go to vasakti, where you actually realize what your rasa is with Krishna. You don't pick it. It's already there. You just realize what it is. And then from there, you begin to reciprocate in that mood with Krishna. And once you realize your identity as a gopi, a gopa, a flower, a peacock feather, a flute, or the water, or a blade of grass, or a rock, whatever your rasa is with Krishna, the water in a kunda, whatever your rasa is, then you reciprocate with Krishna in that mood. That's called the bhava stage. And then that's the final purification. Then you enter into prema. So to tell the guest to pick their rasa is an extremely offensive thing to do. Now, pick your rasa. Completely bogus. So sometimes there is bogus things. It's taught in our classes by even Papa disciples. So you got to be really careful. You got to know the books. If something is questionable, write your spiritual master. Ask your GBC. Because this movement has to be pure. Otherwise, we're not going to take over the world like we're supposed to. This movement has to be pure. Our classes have to be pure. We got to weed out these bogus philosophies that are floating around ISKCON. Okay, so let's see here. What does diya, or clean intelligence, from today's verse mean? It means your intelligence is not polluted in any way by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Okay, so anything else? Looks like we're out of questions now. And another one has come in. Sometimes it happens that some speaking finished the whole class, and given time, then listeners not get a chance to ask any questions. What should I do as a hearer? There should always be time for questions at the end. If there's not, and they're speaking bogus philosophy, then better not to go to such classes. Or better, go and take notes and have a meeting with the temple president. That so-and-so said this in the class. Is this proper? Yes, go ask the temple president. If they speak bogus things, they appear bogus, take good notes or record it. And there's no time to raise it, discuss it with the speaker in the class itself. You could also speak to them after the class, one-on-one. But it's best in the class to raise the point if something appears bogus, so it's clear for everyone. Okay? We'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. His Grace Srimad Sankarsana Dasa Bhagavaraj Ki Jai.